is out there, and if it's anything like Audacity, it's going to hold out for just a few minutes before Tanner pauses and tells me we've got to start again. Tanner?
What? Huh?
Tonight we're going to find the truth here on I Want to Believe, here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I don't know what I'm doing, because it's been months since I've hosted an I Want to Believe. The last I Want to Believe I hosted, I want to believe. Let me look it up real quick. Going to find out.
I'm pretty sure it was one of Hunter's first shows back.
It was the same cast. Yeah, it was the three of us.
Do we not have a fourth?
No.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, because I keep forgetting to invite Calvin back to these things. I don't want him to think that I'm not, you know, that I'm a...
Science boy.
Yeah, science bitch. I don't want science bitch to think that we're ignoring him. March was the last proper I Want to Believe we did. Tanner did... No, April. April. Yeah, it was us three. And then Tanner did two in May. We skipped June completely. Now here we are in July to talk about the things that go bump in the night. Or are we? Because I forgot we were doing a show tonight, despite the fact that I'm the one that kind of pitched it. Therefore, I've been cleaning out my kitchen trying to get it ready. I'll tell you about that in a second. You want to get scared and talk about creepy crawlies. First off, my name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight here on I Want to Believe. With me, of course, we have the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
Don't cross the streams.
And for some reason, he's still not sure of why, Double H.
This iced coffee is terrible.
I am drinking a fresh brewed a coffee that I've made, and it's in the pipe cup that Hunter gave me.
Yeah, it is. Just to clarify, it's a Mario Warp pipe. It's not. You made it sound like a crack thing. It's a video game thing. So
can you drink? Can you drink coffee out of a crack pipe?
I mean, probably in the moment.
Those are the kind of things we want to explore tonight on I Want to Believe.
So this was my mom a long time ago gave me these. My mom does this thing where when we go to her house, her and my dad's house, my parents' house, she always has to like send us with things. And so she was really excited about these. She doesn't really like coffee, but she got these French vanilla latte like Maxwell House pouches. So it's like a powder. And you pour it in. It says if you want iced coffee, you pour it in a glass of ice water, basically. Or they recommend pouring it into cold milk. So I did that. And it sure is. It is. I was too lazy to make an actual cup of coffee, and I had two of these things. So I'm like, I'll just do this. This has been here for 2 years, which might be the problem. But if you were looking for something scary, boy, howdy, it's scary in a glass.
Well, there's nothing scarier, Hunter, than the creepy crawlies that exist directly and primarily in my apartment. They sprayed...
And in the kitchen, no less. Not always.
They sprayed again last week. So I'm just going to say it. I've been in the district. I used to live at the district for years. And back then it was called LaCroix. And it was myself and Lindsay and Bob. And we lived in this nice little place. We enjoyed it very much. And then we moved into a townhouse with someone else. There was four of us. And then we moved away to our really great place that we lived at for a year, which, despite the fact that it was great, two stories, or one story, and that relates to this show, even though everybody thought it was great, I thought it was kind of a nightmare because of the noise levels. I hated living under somebody. It was terrible. So we moved back to LaCroix, and... If you've listened to the show before, you know the moment I came into LaCroix, because I like LaCroix, I like the people that run it. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get them in trouble, but there are people that work here that I am friends with, associates with, and they took care of me. They're like, yeah, come on back. We know you're in a bad situation, a bad spot. We'll waive some fees. And I'm like, cool, man, you guys are great. I'm glad I'm coming back. Yeah, it's a little pricey, probably way too overpriced. In fact, I know it is, but I thought it's safe and I've been there before. I know what I'm dealing with, and it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. So... we move back in. If you listen to the show, you know my struggle. Day one, filled with dead roaches and some living ones. They sprayed the next day because I complained so much. I put down 24 roach traps. I've been dealing with it since day one. Well, we're now in week three, I believe. And I thought, because I hadn't seen any in a couple days, they sprayed again. I thought, okay, I think it's finally done. So... if you want to feel some real creepy crawlies going around on your skin, you should have been here with me as I cleaned all the cabinets out in my kitchen, because I haven't touched them yet because I didn't want to put anything in there because I was afraid roaches were going to get all over it. And my God, cleaning out those cabinets, I would spray bleach on the wood because you're not supposed to do that. And I would do it. And then I would wipe it with a paper towel. And when I looked at the paper towel, it was just covered in what I assume was roach shit and also dead roaches. And It was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And I said, when I move out of this place, I'm going to make their life a living hell. No one's coming back to this place unless they really make some fucking changes. And I apologize for the cursing. I remember what show we're on. It doesn't matter. We own the network. Fuck that show. Fuck that old show. What? Anyway.
What?
You know what the worst part is? Is it just like, it tastes more like chocolate milk than it does coffee.
Hunter. Like, Hunter. It's just... Hunter, give me 5 seconds to finish my story, please. 5 seconds. So, cleaned out all the dead roaches.
Hunter, what kind of coffee was that again?
I cleaned the cabinets, and then I put the contact paper down, and I'm excited because I can finally put my glasses up. I put my glasses up. I brew myself a fantastic cup of coffee in my Keurig coffee maker in Hunter's beloved warp pipe cup he gave me, which is my favorite cup, by the way. Hunter, and
I'm glad somebody's using it as a coffee cup because we used it for pens and stuff.
No, I love it. It's my favorite. I bring it in. I bring Maria coffee too because she's here. And as I bring the coffee in, I go back to the kitchen, turn the light off. Motherfucking cockroach just kicking his little legs up in the air on my kitchen floor. And I thought, you son of a bitch, you're worse than a ghost. So I threw his ass away, and now I'm just paranoid because I'm like, well, now I got all my dishes in there, so now they can just have a fucking condo. Anyway, that's
maybe the cockroach was a ghost of the cockroaches that have died.
No, because I killed him again. You can't kill a ghost twice, Tanner, you idiot. Anyway.
Why?
Anyway.
Terrible.
I said I had a story about that last place, and I've told it before, but I just want to mention it. That last place, I am 99% sure, and I wish Tanner could have been there to investigate this with me.
You text me and called me while this shit was happening.
Yeah. 2-3 in the morning, I'm laying in bed with person, and all of a sudden I hear the wailing of, it woke me up, and it was the loudest, most frightening wailing I've ever heard, coming from what sounded like my basement. And as I'm laying in bed, she wakes up too, and I'm like, did you hear that? And she's like, yeah. And then she falls back asleep, because that's the kind of thing she did. I could not do that. I sat there with my eyes clenched. I was terrified to open them, and the wailing got louder. Like it was coming down the hallway and towards the room. At some point, I finally passed out. I don't know how long I was sitting there sweating, eyes clenched, terrified. First time I've ever been scared in so long. I went in the next day to the basement at night, and I thought, I'm going to do an EVP session, see if I can hear anything. I went to that basement for about 10 seconds and started talking. I got so freaked out, I left. I have never done that before. I have never been too scared to go into a place to investigate. So I don't know what happened that night, but I do know that the old lady that lived above us, they moved out quickly after. And I have some theories. I think that either that old woman was dying and was screaming out in pain and I just heard it, or she died and that was her fucking ghost saying goodbye. I don't know. That terrified me. That is a true story. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Well, just on that one.
That's it. That was the show.
That was show, yeah.
Hunter, can you please give me an update on that coffee?
I'm halfway through it, and I don't hate it. But, like, the comparison I made now, I'm like, I wish I had put some chocolate in it. Like, chocolate syrup might have, you know, trumped it up a little bit. I don't know.
What? And I mean, yeah, what if you had mixed it with chocolate milk?
I couldn't handle it.
See, now it's too much, though. But it's already got milk in it. So I'm thinking I just put the chocolate in, I put the powder in, and then it's a mocha.
Well, Hunter, I'm going to say...
That would have worked.
I know you wish you had put chocolate in it. I wish I were LeVar Burton.
I wish I were, too. Where's my iconic role?
I wish I was Patrick Swayze. Where's my iconic ghost role?
Sweet Jesus.
Tanner, what are we talking about?
So before we really get into
Tanner,
things,
can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Before we really get into things.
Well, hold on. Before you do that, I want to apologize. I legitimately want to apologize real quick. Because This show was very kind of last minute. We decided we want to do And I Want to Believe last week. But I legitimately, it's been a busy weekend. I legitimately did forget we were doing the show tonight. So I did not prepare topics like I always do. Tanner prepared the topics tonight. He researched some stories and sent them to us. Hunter and I have not read through most of it, to be honest, because we, for whatever reason. So I want to apologize for this show seeming so off the rails. I know it's going to seem like it's kind of all out there, but if, you know, this is not going to be our best I Want to Believe. That is for sure. If you came here for quality, go back and listen to some of last year's episodes. Tonight, you're going to get a raw deal. Go ahead, Tanner.
So one of our most popular episodes of I Want to Believe we've ever done was the interview you and I did with Paul Blake Smith.
Tanner, it's the most popular episode we've done.
Oh, that's cool.
It's also one of the top 10 of all time on the show, period.
Very nice. So he messaged, and like Shannon told me, it does seem kind of like a mass message, but he did actually message me personally talking to me about it. Apparently, he had been on a recent podcast or had talked recently to podcasters, and they had started spreading a story that he was calling Reverend Huffman. Wait, no, not Huffman. Let me see here. Let me get this right here.
I think it's Huffman from the Red Star Baptist Church.
Yeah. Yes, Reverend Huffman.
Yeah.
Was basically calling him a habitual drinker and a storyteller, and which in the book is never said. And when he was on our show, he never mentioned.
No, he did not. Not at all.
Like the man only speaks about him with the utmost respect.
He speaks in facts, not rumor.
Yeah, and I went back to listen to that show today just so I could double check, because you know he's legitimately feeling bad because the granddaughter Charlotte Mann has reached out to him and was quite angry at what these podcasters were saying, and he's trying to make sure everything's clear. He's like, no, I've never said this. And he added some other things where he thinks he's found a better timeline of when things happened and all that stuff, which isn't quite as important as the other thing. He just wanted to. He wanted to be able to have a chance to clear up any misconceptions he may have put across. And I wanted to put that out there for him.
Yeah, because he is I'm proud to say, Paul Blake Smith, friend of the show, one of our favorite episodes. I know, Tanner, you've talked to him a couple times, and I loved interviewing him. He seemed like a great guy. I remember after we got done with that interview, you and I looked at each other, and we were like, that's the one. That's the best one we've done.
Yeah, and it stands. Like, I mean, I've had other interviews where I've been more excited about, which nothing against him, it's just
you knew him before he came on the show. I did not. You introduced me to him. I was excited for Jeff Hardy. I was excited for Veronica Taylor, Animal, guys like that. But I think the interview with him was our best interview. I truly do.
Yeah, I do too. I agree, because I think it also helped the fact that the situation was local to us. So he is supposed to come back on the show again soon. So we're trying to set that up.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Last time he was on, he was talking about he was writing a book about the Kennedy assassinations. So we'll see where that's at.
I would like to see him write a book about cockroach infestations.
I mean, he does write books about Kate.
Damn!
I was biding my time on that one, but I couldn't help it anymore.
Well, you see what Tanner thinks of the people in Cape.
I mean, we bash Perryville enough.
Yeah, but they deserve it.
People of Cape don't either.
Well, that guy that punched that kid over the weekend does, but that's another story.
Have you seen the COVID outbreaks in Cape this week?
I saw some pictures.
They're everywhere.
I saw some pictures from a Michigan party that made me sick. I saw pictures from Fire Island that made me sick. We've covered the coronavirus here on the show before. Actually, I think you did a show about the coronavirus. I think it was the last show we did before the fall of life and humanity. I was not a part of that show. I wish I had been so I could talk about the coronavirus, but I think I had the coronavirus. Like, there was a legit chance that I had it and didn't know it at that time. And that's why I was off the show, because I was messed up, man. I was messed up for a couple weeks. They told me it was bronchitis, but they also weren't doing testing for COVID at the time. So who the hell knows? Anywho.
Breaking news for Cape with COVID. Midori has just announced that they are closing. They had a customer who visited the location and tested positive.
Oh, did you see the list of places that had customers that visited them of people who had it?
Yeah, just the list from the 23rd to the 4th was ridiculous.
I heard B-dubs. I heard
Sam's.
And we were at Buffalo Wild Wings. Me and Lindsay and Maria and Billy Hill, Sarah Summers, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings.
That one there.
Let me check this out. Because Maria asked me.
Buffalo Wild Wings, Target, both got hit a whole bunch.
Well, here's the thing that freaked me and Brandy out earlier. The 27th on there that shows Sam's, we were there that morning. And, I mean, luckily we go into Sam's, we wear masks, we wear gloves, we take all the precautions. And we've shown no symptoms whatsoever. But, you know, that's scary as hell.
So it says 628 Buffalo Wild Wings. We were there 627, so we're good, right? Yeah. No, it says 627 too. Well, here's the important thing. Maria got tested for COVID because of a separate situation, and it came back good. So I'm not worried about that particular instance, but if you feel like you might have it, if you feel like you could be coming down with it, by absolute all means, please go get tested and stop socializing so much, man. I knew the 4th of July was going to pop off, and I knew that people were going to be suffering all over the place. Pop, pop. But I don't know why people are doing it. Like, have some common sense, pop, pop.
He said the thing.
Pop, pop. What's he trying to say?
What are you trying to say?
Oh, man, it's a disaster. And I can't wait to cover COVID part 50 later this year, and I want to believe, when the virus has mutated and is mutating us into some kind of carnivorous platypus-style conductors in a box.
I mean, if anything really blows my mind about it, oh, man, I shouldn't say that because I should have seen this coming just like everyone did. It's the fact that somehow, some way, it still became politically divisive.
But yeah.
Like, wearing a mask infringes on your freedom, clearly. Mm. Mm-hmm. I just don't get me started.
This is not the show for it. I can say this as a
joke for everything. I got a message this morning from a friend of mine who sent me the link saying that a positive case of the bubonic plague has been found in China, and I couldn't help myself. I said, "Hey, we're just zombies away from apocalypse bingo."
Yes,
there's a case of that every year or so, I think, isn't there? Not all that uncommon.
You don't hear about it. I think everybody's just hyped up about it right now because of COVID already happening, and now there's a case.
Reasonably sure. It says in recent decades, an average of 7 human plague cases have been reported every year. So it's anywhere from 1 to 17 over the past few decades every year. It's not like it's just hasn't happened since it, you know, was eradicated.
Yeah, but I feel like 2020 is our best year of it actually becoming another plague.
Yeah.
Just
not out of the question.
You know, and my God, then will people listen? Again, I don't want to turn this into a politics show because that's not what this is. But let me just say, just really quick, you go back and listen to last Thursday's episode where I went hard on politics, and it's the same argument. Like, at what point do you start using common sense and you start, like, put your political and your stupid beliefs aside and start actually listening to what's, you know, and looking at what's happening in the world? You ignore the coronavirus despite the fact that it's worse now than it has been since it started. Despite the fact that people will tell you that it's not even a thing anymore. It is, and it's worse than ever, and we're heading toward another lockdown quarantine. You'd think that people would finally go, enough is enough, maybe I'm wrong. Will the plague finally convince you? Like, when people start dropping like flies, will you then, like, decide to show some common sense and protect yourself? Or will you still go out to mass gatherings to party your ass off because that's your American right, goddammit, rock, flag, and eagle?
It doesn't affect them personally. I mean, that's literally what it comes down to. If it doesn't affect them personally, then it's not real.
And it won't affect you personally until it kills you or someone you love. And then watch you change your mind.
Christopher, but again, by that point, then they no longer identify with that side, so it doesn't matter.
Well, then they won't identify with anything because hopefully they'll be dead. Lesson learned. And then we'll be talking about their ghost on the show. Tanner, let's talk about some weird stuff, man. Why are we talking about COVID? You always want to talk about COVID or politics.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Why? That's 100% me. Yeah, you know.
His original name was the politician himself. At least it's not the final solution like Dalton.
No, the final prototype.
Yeah, that's what it was. Potato bugs. Tanner, go for it. Also, right. Potato bugs are terrifying looking.
So I'm actual ones? Yes. Yeah. It's awful. Let's talk about scary potato bugs. No.
All right, I'm gonna let Hunter take over on this first one because he seemed pretty interested in this one.
Like, what's up with them?
Wait, on the first one?
I think we're just going to start with it.
The first one you sent me was U.S. Navy.
The one you wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay.
All right, hold on. Pause.
The TikTok one, right?
Pause really quick. I'm inserting the Kesha song TikTok now, and we're good. I'm kidding. Okay. I didn't do that.
I swear to God if he does.
That's good. I'm glad you didn't.
Tanner, so if you threaten me, I'm going to.
What this boils down to is it's a thing from Distractify. and a discussion about TikTok has a filter now that people are using to basically try to find ghosts in their house. It follows kind of the same premise as what you guys did a few years ago with the Xbox 360
Kinect
camera called?
The Kinect.
Kinect, yeah. Couldn't think of it, with the camera thing. And it's basically just if you use this filter, it's supposed to, like, lay out where people are in a room. And so it's called a reality ripple effect. And so if you use it while looking around your house, pretty much it will show, like, a thermal image of someone in the room sometimes when they're not actually there.
Yeah.
So it has turned into kind of a thing of if you're scrolling through TikTok now, this is something you're going to see pretty regularly. It does make a point to say in the article, quote, "Naturally, there are also plenty of naysayers when it comes to the effect. In general, there are those who don't believe in ghosts or spirits of any kind, so it makes sense that they would be against it, da-da-da. Obviously, there is no evidence to suggest it actually works on detecting ghosts in your house, but like other TikTok effects and trends, it's what makes the app so much fun." Which is debatable.
Okay.
it's fun to have your, you know, data stolen by China and them reading everything even on your clipboard on your phone. But hey. I'm not going to act like we don't watch TikTok. We watch TikTok all the time in this house. Like every, I don't know, 2-3 days we scroll through them.
We watch TikTok, but only because one specific person does. I do not watch TikTok. I am shown TikTok and I get it. It's a great lip syncing service and it has some occasional funny moments. But the ghost thing, let me just say real quick. Do you guys remember there was an app you used to be able to download for your phone? You might still be able to, called Ghost Radar.
Hell yeah.
And there were people that believed that was real.
Tanner funded the Kickstarter for it, apparently.
Way too excited about that. Way too excited.
When that app first came out, I downloaded it.
It's one of those things that Lindsay and I had it years ago, and I was playing with it. She didn't, because she's terrified of those things, but I'm always looking for, like, ways to talk to the dead so I can ask them how I can get there. We were in the kitchen at our old place, and she's cooking breakfast, and I'm doing the ghostwriter thing, and it comes up that says breakfast. She freaks out because it's like, oh, how did it know we're doing breakfast? And I'm like, well, it's like 10 a.m. It made an educated guess.
Right.
It's a cheap version, kind of. Okay, let me slow down. I'm getting so excited. It's a
fake version of. Are you talking about the Ghost Radar or this TikTok thing?
The Ghost Radar. I'll get to this in a second. I'm just saying
it's like a cheap version of like a ghost box.
Yeah, the fad of these new ghost inventions that shows like Ghost Adventures or Ghost Brothers or Ghost Asylum or the 50 other ghost hunting shows that are on television now. Most of them on the Travel Channel. Make sure you ask your friend Scott Walter about that again sometime. They're ridiculous. And it reminds me of the one that I've seen on Ghost Adventures the most. I'm all for new technology, but they say they have a machine that the ghost can use their energy to manipulate it, to create words. So a ghost can go in the machine and make it say haunt or death or murder or something. And to me, that is the most pseudoscience bullshit that I've heard since the Ouija board. Like,
now, wait a minute.
It's ridiculous.
Now, here's my argument for it. You've heard of the theory about white noise.
Of course.
That's essentially what this machine does.
Are you talking about the TikTok thing or the ghost box thing?
The ghost box.
Yeah, but okay, it's a white noise machine. No, that I'm fine with. We're talking about different ones. The white noise machine I'm fine with. I believe that's legit.
No, I'm saying, like, so the REM pod or the spirit box where it uses the energy from the box, quote unquote, to make words.
Yeah, to generate words.
It's not so much that it's using energy, but even the ones that are quiet, they're actually scanning radio frequencies at a high rate of speed.
No, we're still talking about two different ones. You're talking about something different. I'm talking about one. You're talking about the one they turn on. You get the white noise. It scans the frequencies, and you can hear the ghost talk.
They have one that's completely quiet. It just turns it on, sits it down, and occasionally a word will pop up.
Yeah, this is the one where the ghosts literally manipulate the machine to form the words,
mm-hmm.
and the words pop up on the screen. My problem with it is, how does a ghost know the right way to manipulate energy to get the word they want across, because it has such a vast dictionary and vocabulary in the box machine. Like, I get it, man. I want to contact the dead as much as everybody else. I want to believe. That's why that's the name of this show. I want to believe. But there's only so much that I can, like, really, really suspend my disbelief on. And you telling me that a ghost can go in this box and use his energy to manipulate it to get just the right word he wants, I call bullshit on that. That is ridiculous. And then we come back to TikTok. This
well, and to be fair, the reason that this is so popular right now is not just because TikTok is popular, but because it keeps growing in popularity. Since all this, going back to what we were talking about earlier, since all the lockdowns from COVID have started up, it blew up in a big way because people were at home. They didn't have things to do, so they did this. They made videos. They had time to put together more elaborate things. And even when these negative things about it come out, like data mining and those sorts of things, it doesn't slow it down much. It's gotten banned in a couple of places. I know it's lost some ratings on the App Store, but like, who cares?
Yeah.
But yeah, so any other little thing you can add on there, people are going to take advantage of it.
And I want to try it myself. No, I'm not, because like you just said, all the data mining and stuff. I might anyway. I don't care.
If you've already got it, it doesn't matter. You may as she's already got it. You may as well just try it. I mean,
I've seen videos of it, and I am more likely to believe that this could be a legit thing than I am to believe that Ghost Box or even the Ghost Radar app is, because this does seem to follow kind of a logic that kind of makes sense, that it can map out, you know, physical forms that we can't see with the naked eye. I mean, Tanner, as you know, part of the whole explanation for ghost hunting and ghost adventuring, we'll say, is the fact that ghosts are energy, that they're made up of energy, that's what you read is energy you're looking for a ghost. So I get that, and I'm willing to try it out, but I've seen some videos on it and they're fairly convincing. Like, they look like they could be legit, but this isn't the first time I've seen something like this. You remember, I think it was Snapchat, there are videos of people using Snapchat filters and shooting empty rooms, and occasionally the filter will catch something that isn't there to the human eye, and it'll put dog ears on midair or something like right. that, and people
but
freak out.
The thing about those, let's talk about that for a second, because this is a little bit different. This is a thermal imaging thing. When it comes to something mapping out a face, because cameras that are built into these phones and such are designed the same way that because we build them around the way the human eye is designed, we have, and I forget what it's called, that phenomenon where we look for faces in things. So it makes more sense for something like that to happen and get a false positive. Of course, it's going to catch a face in something that's not actually showing a face. Even that face swap thing, for the longest time, people were showing horror show versions of that because it would swap the other person's face with someone who was looking up a little too high, and their two nostrils look like eyes, and so it took that and everything below as a face.
Yeah. I think it's
to
called...
To me, that's a little bit different.
Pareidolia?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, as I know it, and I've always called it matrixing, you know, in the ghost hunting community, matrixing. When you see something that's, your brain forms it. You know, it's not actually what you think it is, but your brain makes it that way, Tanner.
So, but also a important note with the ripple effect filter from TikTok. It's not actual thermal. It's it's a motion mapping. So if you have a video where someone's using the filter, experimenting with it, and they're moving around, and all of a sudden they start getting this ripple effect on something that's an inanimate object, it's more than likely it's the camera mapping the movement that the camera is making. Whereas I've seen videos where people have it even on like a tripod, just so they can film the room, and there'll just be a chair perfectly standing still, and all of a sudden that ripple effect will start happening in that chair. And there's no reason for that to happen because it's like I said, it's supposed to map movement.
Well, you have to take into effect computer error. Like that's an important thing to remember. Like you said, there's no reason it should do it. There isn't, but I mean, it could just be the app incorrectly reading something. Like computers make errors.
That's true.
Screw up. That's why it's so hard to do ghost hunting, is because ghost hunting is almost impossible to replicate. You know, whenever you have a theory, when you do an experiment, you replicate the results and ghost hunt, you know, to prove it. And ghost hunting is almost impossible to do that. There are so many theories and there's so much evidence out there, but none of it really connects. It's hard to duplicate. You can't do it again in the exact same way. It's hard to believe that an app on TikTok can do this. I don't know. It's just hard for me to buy it. But I'll try it.
I think we're all kind of on the same page there. I mean, it's another thing, but this isn't some great breakthrough in the paranormal community. No. Somebody didn't just randomly figure something. It's just there are some interesting things here. Let's see what comes of it.
The funny part about
something
that
could be an interesting tool to use at some point in time, just to test it.
Or at the very least, I would say, something that you could use to build upon and create an actual tool. Because to me, this is just this is an interesting tidbit. So maybe we can make an actual working tool out of it.
I think it's funny you mentioned that, Hunter. You said that it's not a breakthrough in the paranormal community. What's odd to me is that it's actually harder to prove the existence of ghosts now with such technological advances than it was to prove back when, you know, some of the best evidence ever recorded of ghosts and the paranormal were recorded before we had the technological breakthroughs that we've had now, because now it's so easy to fake things. It's so easy to fake a video, to fake a picture. Whereas before, you know, like what is it, Tanner, the Brown Lady of something, one of the most famous ghost pictures of all time.
Oh, there, with the stairwell.
Yeah, in the stairwell. There are so many, you know, back then it was so harder to fake these things. So if you caught something on camera, it was more believable. Now, I watch 9 million different ghost videos a week, whether it's Nuke's Top 5, whether it's Chills. And you know who Chills is. He talks
Stop
like
it. It. Stop it right now.
Sorry. I watch all these ghost videos, and they present this evidence. They're like, what do you think? And I'm like, I think it's fucking fake. Because it looks fake. There was one we watched last night of ghosts in Gettysburg. And they said, okay, here's this video. It's all over the paranormal community right now. Is it real? Is it fake? You decide. And it's these two people who are recording in the fields of Gettysburg. They see these lights, these orbs. So the video starts, and you see these lights kind of hovering in the trees. And it legitimately was I wonder what that is. That's interesting. But then you start seeing the ghosts literally forming on the ground and walking and then disappearing, and it happens multiple times, and it's so good, you know it's fake. Like, there's no way that they caught this evidence and it's not all over the place, because even though it is hard to convince someone that a ghost video is real, it's also hard to convince me that it's that good that it's real. Like, you don't hunt for ghosts for 30, 40 years, 50 years, and come up with pictures or stuff getting knocked over, and now all of a sudden in the year 2020 we've got full floating apparitions appearing every 3 seconds, and you're going to tell me that that's a legitimate video. I don't buy it, Tanner.
I mean, I'm right there with you.
I'm gonna send you guys that video. I want you to see it. You don't have to watch it now, but I do want you to see it, and because it is a convincing video. It looks fake in the sense that it looks too good to be true, but it also, they did a good job with it, because some of those fake videos are super fake. This one is convincing. Sorry, I'm on a tangent tonight. I apologize.
No, you're fine. So right before we move to the next topic, I will say that on the camera thing, there's a hypothesis amongst ghost hunters that says the newer cameras, these ones with such high megapixels, they're not as good for ghost hunting. And I, like, me personally, I don't know why. I haven't looked into it as much as I probably should. But I know a lot of people who still use, like, the early digital cameras for ghost hunting.
Yeah, because they I don't know, they're, I don't know if they're easier to use or to pick up. I don't know, but it feels like older things work better. I don't know.
Well, they tend to. I know one theory I heard is they tend to focus, like, so something's in a hallway, and a newer camera can't quite focus on it, or tries to focus on everything else around it, tries to make the picture less blurry on its own, just from autofocus.
Mm.
Whereas an older camera that doesn't have something like autofocus will take a picture of that hallway, and anything that is causing that blur as standing in front of the camera isn't going to be edited out by the camera naturally. So you're going to be able to get that evidence that's sitting right there, because, you know, it's not seeing it as, okay, no, that's messing up my picture, let me fix that.
Yeah.
So I do. I got to say, though, the cynical part of me is like, that's awfully convenient, isn't it? That the better cameras aren't as good at catching things. And, oh, man, back in the day, it was so much easier. Now, what's to be done?
What's to be done about technological advances?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying I don't believe.
I want to believe.
I want to believe.
But there is a cynical part of me that's like, okay.
That's entirely too convenient.
If you say so.
I think we could devote an entire episode to why do we believe the things that we believe about ghosts? And why is it the way it is? Like, a question that I always had, let's just jump right into it. A question I always had is, if you are a ghost and you exist in this house or whatever, 90% of the ghost videos you see, the ones that are the most legit, are ones of a drawer opening or a stick of butter getting knocked off a table. And it's like, you don't have anything better to do as a ghost than slightly irritate me with your shenanigans. Like, I don't understand. It's like with you.
That depends on the haunt.
Well, see, okay. Let me try to jump on this and play, I guess, devil's advocate. Not really. But, and then Tanner, you can correct me if I'm wrong or follow up. But like my understanding of that, be it even if it's just a, how do I put this? Like a pop culture definition of this is that kind of activity is limited to the energy behind the spirit itself. So like that's the most that one can muster for whatever reason. It's not very powerful. And so that's really all it can do, as opposed to manifesting in an actual physical form, you know, literally communicating. Literally all it can do is just, you know, slam doors and move chairs and stuff.
Yep,
why? I don't know.
but you also see that in situations like, and I can understand that if there's somebody there, like if there was a ghost in here with me right now and it wanted to make its presence known and it could only muster up enough energy to knock one of my figures over or something. Like I get that. But you know, there's also videos where you'll see a department store at 2 at night with no one around where a ghost will knock a tie off a rack. Why? If a ghost is smart enough to go inside of a ghost box and form a word with its energy, it's smart enough to know that ain't nobody there. So you're knocking that tie over isn't doing anything but inconveniencing the guy that comes to work the next day.
Well, again, and that's why you start to debunk things like that, because it's, no, maybe there was just a gust of wind, you know, maybe the air conditioning kicked on or something. That's,
just because something seems weird does not mean it's paranormal. That is something that you absolutely have to drill into people's heads. You can't take every bit of evidence as fact.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree with 100, but also it depends on the haunting you're dealing with. Whether it be poltergeist activity, which apparently nowadays is most hauntings. Anytime you have a haunting, it's a poltergeist now. Ooh. It could be, well, there's residual, there's intelligent, you know, there's all these different kinds of events that can happen. And say you have a residual haunting where every third night, you know, every Wednesday and Friday, certain cabinets open up, and you have no idea why. And so you're sitting here asking, why are they doing that? Why? That's just causing an inconvenience to the owners of the home. Well, that's a residual haunting. That's something that's going to happen each time on a schedule.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, there's I don't want to call it a science to it, but there can be an explanation to it.
Generally, though. A residual haunting, especially if it's one of like a poltergeist type activity, well, I don't think they go together, because let's say you have, it's impossible to have a residual haunting in a house with new owners that is, if something's getting knocked over all the time, to me that's impossible that's a residual haunting, because object was not there when they died. A residual haunting is repeating a moment in time. It's an echo over and over again. There's no way a ghost that died in 1842 is knocking over my precise pen holder because he did not know that was there.
So I wasn't talking about objects like that. I was talking you go into a kitchen and someone's cabinets. Those cabinets are probably there from the previous owners and the previous owners and the previous owners.
And if they're my cabinets, they have roaches in them.
You know, maybe the previous owner had roaches.
Maybe that's how. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe they are ghosts.
Who are you gonna call?
Somebody else.
Yeah. Tanner just gave up. I'm sorry, man. I feel like we derailed your conversation.
No, Tanner, go ahead. I want to hear the explanation.
No, you're good. Like that's what I'm saying. Like, just, I'm not talking about you have a cup sitting on the table and it just knocks it off. No, I'm talking like they go in. You have a dining room table that was there when you moved in. A chair moves out, and then a cabinet opens up, and then a drawer opens up, and that happens all the time. That's possibly a residual haunting, because those things were there before you got there, and maybe that's something that they continue to do after they died, you know?
Most residual hauntings, from what I've seen, and you've been doing this longer than me, you're more experienced with the ghost hunting than I am, I will say up front. Residual hauntings that I've seen are almost always entirely apparitions or EVPs. Because that is something you can do. That is an echo in time that you could repeat over and over again without having an outside influence or, you know, a variable that could interfere with that echo.
So I've had one experience with one continuous experience with a residual haunting in the past. originally the house that it was happening in, you could hear somebody walking through the house, like heavy boot steps, and you hear it at the same time every night coming from the same direction, and then you would hear the sound of a drawer opening in the kitchen. You would come in there, and that drawer would be ajar, like it'd be halfway open the next morning. Obviously, we ended up burning that house down. It was an old trailer. We got rid of it. And
oh, damn. I thought you burned it down because of the ghost. Like, damn.
No.
Well, that's just enough of this.
Just cleaned up the property. I mean,
to hell with you, ghost.
The daughter-in-law kind of felt that way. But like I told her, I'm like, this could be something just tied to the property. We'll see. Sure enough, another house was put there, and we decided to investigate it because the kids started seeing things. And sure enough, I recorded in what was their living room, and I started hearing the exact same EVPs.
Tanner, do you remember a little while back, me and Lindsay went on a ghost investigation in Perryville?
Oh, and God.
Hunter, you were there, sort of.
I seem to recall having something to do with it.
Anyway, let's move on.
It was something I could do.
We got to change topics here because it's one of those things where you think, oh man, we got to fill an hour of time and we haven't prepared. And then you go on like a 30-minute discussion about ghosts that was pretty good. And you're like, well, now we got all these stories got to cover. Let's move on, Tanner.
We don't have to cover them all. Just you pick one. Which one do you want to talk about?
There's literally like four, so it's fine. Yeah.
I would like to touch on one that I've touched on before. That sounded wrong. I want to talk about the U.S. Navy. And according to this, I didn't hear about this, that they released, where is it here? They released 8 incident reports in May with new details about a series of encounters between the Navy pilots and unidentified flying objects off the U.S. East Coast. The reason I kind of wanted to talk about it was because this is another one of those things. I will hammer this into the ground until the day I die, that people should care about this. They don't, and it's pretty obvious by the whole coronavirus outbreak that people just don't care about anything, apparently, unless it's, you know, rock, flag, and eagle. But, and that's the second time I've used that tonight. I'm proud of myself.
I'm gonna climb a mountain. No. We can't.
But this is one of those things that if you are not alarmed by the presence of a foreign entity in our airspace, be it, you know, another country or another planet or another dimension or whatever, and you're not concerned about that, and then you're not concerned that our pilots are seeing these things and that we don't know what they are, then something's really wrong with you, because this is something you should be concerned about. It doesn't matter whether you believe in little green men or not. The fact that we have these things in our airspace and they're being reported and nobody knows what it is, and the government is full on telling you, yes, this exists, yes, this is happening, and we want to give you guys the information about it because we are openly admitting that these UFOs are real. And when I say UFOs, I'm talking about unidentified flying objects. I'm not saying they're alien in origin, but the definition of an unidentified flying object is that is a flying object that you could not identify. So they are presenting this as fact and saying, yes, this is absolutely happening, we're seeing these things, we don't know what they are. And it got buried in the 2-3 years since this has become a major story. I remember saying this was going to change the course of history a couple years ago when I reported it the first time. I was wrong. It got buried about 10 pages down under like a story about, I don't know, Kanye West running for president or something. It's become an unimportant thing, and that's ridiculous.
If I can offer a counterpoint, because it's what we do here.
Yes,
because you and I have talked about this before, and don't get me wrong, I get it. I get why you're upset, and there's totally reasonable, motivation behind that. I guess
absolutely.
I understand why. Here's my guess. Here's my guess hypothesis, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
What could we do? Other than, don't get me wrong, yes, we could absolutely funnel more money and funding into projects that are looking into these kinds of things, but where are they? What are they? You know, if we have a governmental agency that does this, we don't know about it, because all we've done is kind of make fun of that over time. Not so much make fun of it, but we have fictionalized it. X-Files, Men in Black, right?
Right.
We don't know who's actually looking into these things as far as a solid particular agency. And people don't really tend to want to donate to things that they don't know exactly where that money is going, or that they don't know it'll provide results.
Well, that's the crazy
thing. When it comes to something like Kickstarter, right? If you don't think that you're going to get something out of it, you're not going to put your money toward it. And there's no guarantee with any of these groups or projects or anything, especially because when I say fictionalized, I should have also included, like you mentioned earlier, people like Ghost Hunters and such, where it just it comes across as fake, whether it is or isn't. So what can we – it all comes back to what I was saying in the first place. What can we do about it? Yeah, they confirmed that these things actually happen, and we, you know, you're expecting the world to change in that moment, but how would it? We can't do any more with that knowledge that that was the case than we can with not knowing it was, other than just be aware that it exists.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that about, you know, we don't have an organization that, you know, that does this stuff. We did. As of a couple of years ago, you know, this is when the story broke. Luis Elizondo came out and talked about it, and he was, you know, heading up a Pentagon program known as the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, and they studied these phenomena. This is where a lot of that information came out because of, and I'll love this fact forever, thanks to the work of Tom DeLonge, former Blink-182 singer who now runs up the To the Stars Academy, who, you know, worked with Elizondo and brought out a bunch of this information about what was happening. And this was a organization that was not only funded by the Pentagon, but it was also headed up by, I forget the names, a pretty significant man in politics. And God forgive me, I forget what his name is, but this had a lot of people backing it. And they devoted so much money to this to study it. And then they just stopped. They just decided, never mind, we're not going to do this anymore. And that boggles my mind, because if you're going to devote time and resources to studying these things, as not just as a as an interest to people in the paranormal community or people that want to believe in extraterrestrials, but as a government program to protect the United States against foreign influences and foreign, you know, attacks, I feel like that is something you would want to pursue continuously. And maybe, like you said, maybe they are and we just don't know about it. There is a reason that the government keeps so many secrets. This could be one of those things that this is what they show you with their left hand because their right hand is doing something else that you can't see. Go ahead, Tanner.
Well, let me, this is without me actually Googling it right now, but the time that they probably stopped funding this program, wouldn't it be around about the same time they stopped funding NASA?
Let me look that up real quick, because I think they stopped funding this in 2015, 2016 or something like that.
I'm not talking about the last mission. I'm talking like, because about that time is when they announced they would not be financing any more missions to space solo. Maybe they were waiting on, well, basically what I'm trying to say is maybe they were waiting on an outside source to come in to help with this. Kind of, so they were waiting on someone like Tom DeLonge to come along and take on this project, like just same way they were waiting on someone like SpaceX to come on and take on the NASA program.
I will say that it looks like Obama defunded it in the 2010s. So it doesn't add up specifically, but it is in the same time period. I think more and more things are going to come out. And what I'm stressing to people is, like, I get that it's probably not as important to everyone else as it is to me, because like you said, Hunter, earlier with the coronavirus thing, if it doesn't directly influence my life, why would I care? And even though this kind of does directly influence everyone's life, you don't see it at the moment. You don't, it is not in your face with it. This is future use problem, as far as we know.
Well, I have two things to say to that. Two things to say on this topic before I'm personally done with it. The first is one of the things I'm really glad about Trump. He's just stupid enough that he wouldn't, if something happened, he wouldn't be able to get that filter put through to say, hey, don't talk about this. So he's liable to be stupid enough to let something slip that, you know, we should know about that other presidents have hidden. And the other thing is, I think, did you see like what the ratings were for the SpaceX launch?
It was good, wasn't it?
Amazing. Like, I think the interest in space and space travel has gone up so much that I don't think it would be an issue anymore for people to really start focusing on this.
I think it's important for people now because it's no longer about here are these trained astronauts that are going into outer space. It's getting to a point where it's, hey, do you want to take a vacation to outer space? It's getting to a point where we are talking about sending civilians into space to do whatever, rich people, whatever. So I can see why people are more interested in it now, especially if Elon Musk is attached to it, because, you know, then it's not just the government doing it. It's an individual person trying to create something for other people. I lost my point other than that.
I apologize.
I can't help you.
I think I love that Tanner said that the government was waiting for Tom DeLonge to come along. That is my favorite statement I think I've ever heard on the show.
I said someone like Tom DeLonge to come along, not him particularly.
But it was Tom DeLonge, so let's be fair. Best Blink
182. Whatever got him out of Blink is...
You know. Oh, come on, unfair.
Nope.
The best Blink 182 songs, the best Blink 182 songs are the ones where he and Mark Hoppus are together.
We're not having this conversation.
We've had it a million times before.
That's why we're not doing it right now.
All
right,
we'll move on. We only have about 10 minutes left, and surprisingly, I think this has turned out to be a very, very good episode. Yes. Tanner, you hit us with one.
I'm going to go with Screen Rant story. What Unsolved Mysteries leaves out about the Berkshire UFO sightings? Yes. First of all, to anybody listening, if you haven't gotten on Netflix and checked out the new run of Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, man, yes. We could have done an entire show just about Unsolved Mysteries, yes. Like the past and present.
Just let me, you know what? We could just make this whole last topic about Unsolved Mysteries.
Well, yeah, because that other story, let's hang on, let's briefly take care of this. It's from the New York Times, and it's talking about quarantining with ghosts. And it's just sort of people saying, now that I'm in my house a lot, I notice a lot of things. You sure do. I don't think you're going to find a serious piece of paranormal activity in that conversation short of I'm around my house a lot and now I notice things. That's it.
I think quarantining with the ghost can be summed up in two words. Hated it.
I just assumed you were going to go, me.
Well, Hunter, I'm going to go there.
Dalton's not Tanner. Here. It won't work.
I know.
He's not listening to this.
No, Tanner, not what I want to believe.
So, Unsolved Mysteries. They brought it back.
Hey, Lindsay's here.
Hey.
Hi, Lindsay.
They brought it back for a limited run, six-episode season on Netflix.
And they better make more, damn it.
I'm sure they will because apparently it's doing very well. And it was really good. The guys from Stranger Things, I guess the Duffer Brothers, mm-hmm. were involved in kind of helping bring it back and get it together. And they really modernized it, but I think in a lot of good ways. Because we watched all of the new run a few days ago here at the house, but we just today watched a few episodes, I think at least one episode, if not a couple, from the original run because they're on Hulu. Not as good. I'm gonna be honest with you. The new series is actually better. Yeah, it is. I'm telling you. Trust me.
The new series lacks one thing, though.
Yeah, we know.
Robert Stack. I mean, what are we gonna do about that? Robert Stack died years ago. There's nothing we can do about
that. Well, damn it! At least the technology we have now.
they did put him in the opening credits. So I don't know if you noticed. There's like a silhouette of him right before the title shows up. Yeah. Before the final title shows up, there's a clear image of him off to the right.
Who's the new host?
And then that music. There is no host.
There is not a host. They did it very much like I don't want to say stereotypical, but most Netflix documentaries are. It is not hosted. It is treated a bit more seriously. They have some reenactments, but they're not as cheesy as the old Unsolved Mysteries, Rescue 911 dramatizations were.
They were pretty bad.
It's just taken a lot more seriously.
Yeah, and the reenactments are great. Like they're not over the top. They just kind of and it's not you're not watching an entire reenactment of the event.
No,
the footnotes.
Yeah, if you've watched something like Making a Murderer on Netflix, it's very similar to that. That's kind of their documentary style. The first episode of Tanner, you're gonna have to help me with the guy's name because I can't remember. Basically the first episode is about a guy who just up and vanished, as is par for the course with Unsolved Mysteries. And that's another thing for this limited run. You know, in the original show, Shannon, they would cover three or four stories per episode, and it was everything from paranormal activity to missing people to those sorts of things. In this case, it's a single story per episode, so they do a much deeper dive into each thing. This first episode, this guy disappears after getting married. He had a pretty normal life. Everything was cool, and slowly but surely, these little pieces start coming out about how weird his disappearance is. I don't want to give anything away since you haven't seen it, but where
Ray
he's
Rivera.
Found... Ray Rivera. Where he's found the things that he left behind. It's very... I mean, it's creepy, but in a really good, very, you know...
Very conspiracy.
I don't know. Very unsolved
mystery
kind of way. Yeah. So it's really a great run. And again, you can binge the whole thing in a day because there's just those six episodes. They're about an hour. it's totally doable. And again, I think having gone back and seen some of the older ones now and kind of refreshed my memory, I think it's better.
I want to throw something out there really quick, Tanner, before you go. Speaking of shows that do a really good job presenting the paranormal, you can't find the show anymore, but it's one of the things that got me into the paranormal quite a bit was Sightings was a fantastic show. It was basically the Dateline of the paranormal. But
I'm pretty sure that was the theme song from Sightings is what we used originally for this show.
It was the first, yep. But there is a show that I watched and I got a couple other people into that if you've never seen it, it's apparently on Hulu as well. And it's called Paranormal Witness. And it is, hand to God, one of my favorite paranormal documentary shows of all time. They do, they also have the reenactments. Some are better than others. But the stories they tell on there are really good. They're fascinating. They cover a lot of famous cases. Some stuff I'd never even heard of. And it's everything from disappearances to UFOs, ghosts. It's a fantastic series. So if you liked Unsolved Mysteries and you're looking for something to watch that's good, I highly recommend Paranormal Witness. Tanner, go ahead.
So I've never personally heard of this event until I watched this episode, the Berkshire UFO event. Hunter, the way you talked about it in the group chat the other day, it seemed like you'd heard about it before.
I hadn't. I assumed you had, actually. No. So when this episode came up, I thought, oh, this is going to be the one that'll get Tanner interested. But yeah, it's the fifth of those six episodes, if you're watching them in order. And actually, to me, if I remember correctly, it was the only one that was not... basically this person went missing, what happened, because it says unsolved, but I mean all these people came back. It's just unsolved as to what exactly happened.
Well, because the way they talk, so the reason they called it unsolved, you know how at the end of every episode they ask you if you have any information about X, please come forward to this website or this phone number, and basically they're just wanting to, because they know for a fact that there were more people who witnessed the events that happened. So basically a quick rundown for people who don't know the story or aren't completely familiar with it. September 1st, 1969, in Berkshire, Virginia? Massachusetts? Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, yeah.
A UFO event was witnessed by two counties, basically. And the episode of Unsolved Mysteries is actually able to build a timeline where this UFO, basically, for lack of a better term, is seen in different areas, and they actually have people in different areas that reported abductions, basically. People who had never met each other had claimed to be abducted, and then they met years later, and they're like, yes, I seen you on the ship. And it's really cool, but the way the show made it out to be is the people who came forward for the episode were looked at as if they were crazy in the towns they were from. But apparently, from the information I'm reading, it's a widely accepted fact, that this has happened, that a lot of people came forth and said, yeah, we seen this crazy light in the sky. We don't know what it was.
Yeah, they have a historical marker, actually. Yeah. Sheffield Bridge in the area, as of 2015, they put a historical marker up, and that's where one of the guys, Thomas Reed, and his family were, as it says, supposedly taken.
Yeah. Now, the first person to come forward saying he was abducted was Tom Warner. I think Tom was, I think he said 12 or 13 at the time.
He was pretty young.
But he actually has complete memory of everything that happened from the abduction to midway through the trip on the ship.
This was the guy with the limp, right? He's got like
the one with the long hair.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Or not a cane, but he does have a limp.
Yeah, yeah. He's the one that was getting out, reenacting everything that happened, how he was found and everything. And granted, if you were to meet this person walking on the street trying to tell the story, you would 100% believe, and he needs to be institutionalized. But then you have these other people who are coming forward who look to be respected members of society. Like some of these people are like, upper scales of the counties, and they're having the exact same experiences.
Now go on.
No, you were gonna say something.
I was gonna make a stupid joke when you said the high society. I was gonna be like, oh, white people, because white people are, terrible.
Well, this was country Massachusetts, 1969. So yeah, it was all white.
And I'm just proud of myself that I didn't even make the sex joke number.
Stop it.
Sex number joke. Sorry. It's the sex
year. Almost.
Almost. So, but yeah. Anyway,
you almost got out of there.
The family that was supposedly abducted at the bridge that Hunter was just talking about, these were respected members of the area. Like, they owned a very nice diner in town. But when it happened and they, you know, the son started talking about it, he was picked on so much that the mother actually had to close the diner down and move away from the area because he was being tormented so bad. But apparently when that abduction, particular abduction happened on the bridge, the mother was driving, the grandmother was in the passenger seat, and two children were in the back. The supposed abduction happened, and then when they came to, they were in the next town up. The two children were in the back seat in their seats. The problem was the mother was in the passenger seat and the grandmother was in the driver's seat, and the grandmother did not drive. So that's when he knew something was up. So he started corroborating stories in the town, trying to figure out what happened.
You know, now I'm going to get off on another tangent, but that's another thing that I've really had. I've had trouble believing in lately is UFOs and extraterrestrials, because I believe that if extraterrestrials were visiting Earth, the way that they go about it with the way people witness it, I don't know, man, it just doesn't add up. Like, they've been, how many times are they going to just kind of skirt around in the sky being vaguely seen and caught on camera without actually doing anything for how many years now? How long are they going to keep that up before something happens? It just, it doesn't make sense.
You have to consider what the incentive is of being, of them being known. You know, what's the purpose? I sent you a short story, man, not too long ago that I know you didn't read, but...
But, I mean, if they're willing to be seen, if they have the technology to fly across, you know, time and space to visit Earth, they have the technology to do that, then why would they be willing to be seen up in the air on camera and not make it either a point to hide themselves or to actually interact with us?
Like, if they're as human as we're allowing them to be in our minds, everybody makes mistakes.
That is like a 60, 70 year mistake that they've been making. I guess, and to be fair, we haven't shot them out of the sky yet.
There you go. I was going to say, it's not like it's.
But we tried.
It was such a mistaken issue that it didn't completely go down. What I was referencing, by the way, is a maybe two-page, probably one-page story by a guy named Terry Bassani. He wrote it in 1991. It's called "They're Made Out of Meat," and the gist of it is basically these. It's never said specifically. It's all dialogue, but these two extraterrestrials of some form or fashion discussing how humanity works and being just completely flabbergasted that any of us makes sense. They refer to us as thinking meat. How does meat think? It doesn't make any sense. In the end, they both agree to pretend that they never found anything here and then leave. And as they discuss another group that they're going to meet with, one of them says, we contacted them a couple of, as he says, galactic rotations ago. They want to be friendly again. The other one says they always come around, and the first says, why not? Imagine how unutterably cold the universe would be if we were all alone.
Also, I did read that, and I also wanted to point out that they actually made a movie out of it?
I saw that it was made into a radio play. It couldn't have been a full-length movie unless it was really heavily adapted.
I think it's a short film. I haven't watched it yet.
That would make sense.
I know Tom,
there it is if you want to read it.
Tom Noonan is in it, though, and I really like Tom Noonan, so I need to check that out.
Yeah.
And I had a really good point to make, but it doesn't matter at this point.
Sure it does.
No, I don't remember it. That's the thing. Speaking of UFO, if you want another really good, and I want to tie this back to Paranormal Witness, if you like that kind of stuff, one of the best segments I've ever seen devoted to a UFO sighting, it's on Paranormal Witness. It's season 1, episode 5. It's called The Dangerous Game / Trumbull County UFO. And they do a reenactment where it's basically not a call center, a police dispatcher. She gets a phone call about a UFO sighting, and they laugh it off. And they have the actual audio. That's what makes this really cool, is they have the actual audio from this night. But yeah. She gets a phone call about it. She kind of plays it off. She gets another phone call about it. She ends up calling the towers and asking, hey, do you have any planes in this area? They say no. More and more calls start coming in, and it goes from being a joke to being an all-night sighting. Police start reporting in from other counties and stuff saying, we're following this object. This is where it's at. And to hear the actual audio from it and to hear these police officers and, like you said, Tanner, these respected individuals panicking over this unidentified flying object, it is fascinating. It is terrifying, and it's fascinating. Again, it's on Hulu. I highly recommend you watch it. It's really good.
Sounds like that's what I'm watching tonight.
I think you'll enjoy it. There's also a good episode about the Limp Mansion. They couldn't call it the Limp Mansion for some reason. You need to look it up and see which one it is, but you'll know it when you see it because it's the Limp Mansion.
Okay. Well, and also to go back to the police thing, the Berkshire event, they actually talked about how, you know, dispatch was people calling in the police department, let them know this was happening. But they actually go to the police department and the files. So dispatchers are made to keep a log of every call that comes in. Unfortunately, back in the day, dispatchers had a bad habit of, it was just a BS call or someone just pranking them, they wouldn't document it. So they looked back through the logs of September 1st, 1969, and there was zero logs whatsoever of people calling in because they thought it was just people being stupid or people being drunk and calling this in. So there was no log of it. I guess that situation, that episode you were talking about, was just one of those lucky situations where enough people called in and they decided to call in with a radio tower to check in on it. But I can't stress enough, when people see things like this and need to report it, don't just keep it to yourself.
Or record it somewhere. Do something. Yes.
But you know, and obviously you know why that they're afraid to do it is because you don't want to look like an idiot. You don't want to be the laughingstock of the town whenever you come out and say, I see a UFO. If there's enough people that see it, even if there's enough people that see it, it's not enough to convince people sometimes. You remember the Phoenix Lights? There are still some people who think that's crazy, even though that was literally caught on film by multiple people. It's hard to be taken seriously when you see these things. But, you know, we want to believe.
Yeah.
Let's end the show there.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for tonight's I Want to Believe, the special edition last minute episode, which I think turned out pretty well. I think it's a good way to get back into the swing of things. Sure. Here's my idea, Tanner.
Okay.
Since they're now doing Nerd Up every other week, we could do I Want to Believe, if not every other week, we could do it once a month on Mondays now instead. What do you think of that?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We're going to make a date out of it. Hopefully, Lindsay can join us next time. She came in halfway. She's sitting behind me.
Don't count on it. I close on Mondays.
Never mind. She closes on Mondays. So screw us, right? I guess the truth's just going to have to sit out there. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for
somebody's
tuning in.
Somebody's going to make the bread, man.
Well, somebody's got to eat the crust, too.
I can't do it anymore, guys. Sorry.
You can't do it.
Stupid alien babies. All right. Stupid Tanner, cholesterol. So disappointed in you. That's going to do it for us tonight here on I Want to Believe. We'll be back tomorrow with an all new... Hey, if you like creepy, if you like the unknown and the paranormal, maybe... Stay tuned tomorrow for an all-new episode of PZ85 Plays, where we are sitting in a jail cell. That is true. But I got a feeling shenanigans are going to happen. Myself, Tanner, and Lindsay, of course, Double H, our game master. It's going to be an exciting time tomorrow.
No, you're just going to spend the whole night in jail, the whole session.
Please stop. It's literally just us, like, wasting time.
All right, another hour has gone by. What do you want to do?
I'm gonna flat out just say it now. I'm pulling a Shannon in this one.
What does that mean?
Oh, I'm going to die.
I haven't died yet. Damn it. I've tried.
I'm going to try to die.
Hey, you want to know something super scary?
What's that?
They just announced CCW that Marco and Logan are teaming up with Nick Gage at the main event of Super Show.
Yes. Oh, I know who that is.
You mean like part of Hate Club?
Well, Hate Club's dead.
That's what I heard.
Oh, man, we're going to talk about that on Wednesday. Anyway, yeah, tomorrow, PZ85 Plays. Wednesday, it's Pro Wrestling Unscripted with myself, Hunter, Asa, and Dalton. Thursday, we've got After Dark. And then Friday, of course, the Legendary Group Chat Podcast of Happiness. Is that right?
You did it.
Hey! Yeah. That'll be this Saturday. And we'll...
there it is.
All right, guys, thank you for joining us tonight. Normally, I would say this is the part where you watch the skis. But since Hunter is here, I would like Hunter to do that for us tonight.
All right, guys, keep watching the skis. Scott.
Yes.
What I say. Later.